Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Senator Lisa Murkowski says there's some progress among lawmakers working to end the partial federal government shutdown. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports.
Murkowski has been meeting with other senators, Republicans and Democrats, who also want to end the stalemate. She says their numbers are growing, and she's somewhat hopeful.
The important thing for folks is to know that we're not just sitting back here and hoping that one day Nancy Pelosi or President Trump are going to wake up and say, I've changed my mind. That's not how we're going to get out of this. It's going to take, I think it's going to take a coalition of the willing, and I'm part of that willing.
Her latest plan may sound familiar. She wants Congress to pass a short-term continuing resolution that would reopen government now and then consider all the elements in President Trump's border security package, including the wall. President Trump just rejected a similar idea. Murkowski says senators are trying again.
It's been refloated, and it's been suggested that, look, if there is a significant group of folks that would get behind this, is this something that we can talk about? And so we're taking very baby steps here.
Senator Dan Sullivan said on the Senate floor the solution has to include Trump's border security program.
Every nation has the right, has the responsibility to protect its citizens, protect its sovereignty. And in my view, this is something that should not be controversial.
Sullivan sees a different path forward. He says all sides are near agreement to secure pay for the Coast Guard, and he says that can serve as a template for ending the broader shutdown. Reporting from the Capitol, I'm Liz Ruskin.
An Alaska Railroad tank car derailed south of Cantwell yesterday. A release from the state-owned railroad corporation says the incident occurred at 3:14 a.m. Tuesday near mile 317, which is about 3 miles south of Cantwell. The railroad says the tanker was carrying 23,000 gallons of turbine engine fuel but did not leak. No one was hurt in the incident, which occurred during a regularly scheduled northbound freight run. But there was significant damage to ties, including on a bridge over the Cantwell River. The derailed car was located midway through a 76-car train. The front half of the train continued north, but the back half remained stuck near where the derailment occurred. The cars have to be removed to allow track repairs. The railroad anticipates the repair will take 2 days and could affect a scheduled Aurora viewing passenger train. Fairbanks' third annual Women's March is this Saturday, and organizers are making some changes. As KUAC's Robin reports, there's a push to be more inclusive and highlight local issues.
Hey, how's it going?
Paige Poston opens a large package of cardboard to make signs for marchers to carry at the event. She says this sign painting party was offered to build solidarity and to provide materials for those who might not be able to buy them. Part of the drive to include all sectors of the community in organizing the event. Poston says a group called the Fairbanks Activist Forum has so far been joined by other sponsors.
Access Alaska, the Alaska Center, Fairbanks Activist Forum, Fairbanks Climate Action Coalition, Gender Pioneers, the Interior Alaska Center for Nonviolent Living, Interior Democrats, Native Movement,
and a long list of individuals. Poston says although the Interior Democrats were able to sponsor, Republicans should feel welcome too.
This year, especially compared to previous years, is so hyper-local that the party politics doesn't matter. It's not like a liberal event or a Democrat event. It's a Fairbanks event. The issues that we're focusing on, like homelessness and violence against women and the non-discrimination ordinance, that affects everybody.
Alyssa Quinton of the Alaska Center says the march will begin and end at Ryan Middle School, and instead of a rally to finish it off, topical workshops will give marchers more information on issues of the day.
Local climate issues in action, a workshop on the Violence Against Women Act. We're doing a workshop on Title IX and a general public comment, public testimony workshop. So folks who haven't done that before, you can learn.
They would like participants to know how to comment in front of a city council, school board, or borough assembly, for example, or write comments on federal legislation. Poston says the Violence Against Women Act, for example, has expired and can't be renewed during the partial shutdown of the federal government. On the Facebook page for the 2019 Fairbanks Women's March, They mentioned how the march will accommodate people with disabilities.
And so it was important to us to work with someone like Access Alaska to make sure that like the sidewalks were completely cleared. There's going to be reserved seating for anyone with mobility issues.
And they are trying to recruit a sign language interpreter for the workshops. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The march begins at 11 a.m. Saturday at Ryan Middle School with a route up and down Lathrop Street. A man in Arctic Village reports that earlier this month he encountered and shot a polar bear. That may be an unprecedented event in Arctic Village, which is more than 100 miles south of the Beaufort Sea coastline, far outside polar bear's normal range. The Alaska Energy Desk's Ravenna Koenig reports.
Jim Hollinsworth has lived in Arctic Village for about 30 years and says he's never seen a polar bear before now. Neither have any of the elders he's spoken to.
One of the elders had heard about polar bears before. Maybe, but not. No one's ever actually seen one.
He reports that he went to check a trap line about a week and a half ago and immediately saw evidence of the bear when he arrived at his camp, which is about 20 miles from town by trail.
Tore up one of the snow machines, flipped it completely over, destroyed everything and all around it, kind of marking its spot.
Hollinsworth didn't see the bear itself until the next morning when he stepped outside to put gas in the generator.
Yeah, my dog barked. And the bear was on my back, right behind me. And I jumped back inside, grabbed my rifle, because I had it with me anyway. And by the time I got turned around, it was heading for the door, the open door. It wanted to come in, so it got shot point blank right there at the doorstep.
He says the bear appeared to be a young female, probably about 2 years old. When he reported the incident to the Alaska State Troopers, they put him in touch with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the agency responsible for managing polar bears. Polar bears are federally protected, but there's an exception when a bear is killed in self-defense. U.S. Fish and Wildlife did not respond to requests for comment, presumably due to the government shutdown.
It's not common for polar bears to be, you know, way outside of the typical range, but it's not unheard of.
Eric Regeer is a polar bear researcher with the University of Washington who's worked in Alaska. He says that bears in Alaska usually stay within a few miles of the coast, with the exception of pregnant females who may go further inland to build their dens. But even those bears generally don't venture as far south as the Brooks Range. Regeer says that in individual cases like this, it's very difficult to attribute cause to why a bear wandered so far from its typical area.
It seems to particularly happen with young bears, and it's not clear if they're dispersing, looking for new habitat. It's not clear if they got, you know, mixed up, if they're just inexperienced and they went the wrong way.
He says that generally, declining sea ice due to climate change may lead some bears to appear in unusual places. But at this time of year, when sea ice is present, it doesn't seem to him to be a likely explanation. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Ravenna Koenig in Fairbanks.
And I'm Dan Bross.